Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Let's start the show. It's time to get going. You got your host, James, here. I am joined by my partner in sports, Michael Comer.
How you doing, buddy?
Good to hear. How you doing, man?
I'm alive.
Okay, I hear you. Yes, that is the perfect answer right now, man. If we're being honest with the audience, I am barely alive. I took a... my parents have got some roof work being done.
Oh,
and I was
no.
helping the guy with it because he was by himself, and he just wasn't used to me or something like that. Swung around, hit me right in the eye and the nose today, just like an hour ago, or a couple hours ago. And time is a flat circle. But it got me really good. So I'm barely here right now. But we know you're out there. We want to hear from you. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. The phones are working, everybody. We're very happy for that. And happy to have you with us. Want to send a big thank you to Quality Plus Printing. Getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Buy local, support local. Head to A Street and head to Quality Plus Printing for all your printing needs. We'll get into our schedule a little bit here today. Get into college and pro football schedules as well. We got plenty to talk about. There is a lot out there, but we want to talk to you first. Let's go ahead and take a call. You're in the game.
We had to put you on the concussion protocol, James.
It looks like it. If you've heard my first couple minutes here, yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely. We don't even need to do a concussion test. Just listen to the first minute of this show. How you doing, man?
Oh, not too bad. It's end of the day, halfway through the week.
Right on.
Bear Packer week. I mean, what more can you ask for?
Is it Bear Packer week? I hadn't really paid. No, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes.
You Bear fans are pretty much giving up on the season. So, I mean, it's just.
I think it's, to be honest, I think it's very cool that the NFL gave Green Bay two bye weeks in a row.
You took my joke.
See, it shows we have chemistry right
yes,
away.
Yes.
In all seriousness, I think there's something actually kind of funny and interesting about this game for me, just as somebody who is borderline numb as a Bear fan. Borderline. I still hurt, and I'm going to hurt Monday morning after this game on Sunday.
Maybe you should say your Hail Marys.
it was good, though. I got to give you credit. That was good. So going into this, I would say going into last week's game, the New England game, I thought, okay, well, this is a look-ahead week, if there ever was one.
Yeah.
Everybody's in Chicago is looking at the Green Bay game because you've got the coaching staff that, well, if we win that game, maybe we might have a better chance of keeping our job. And you got the players where it doesn't matter. It's a rivalry game. All bets are off. Now, after the New England lost, after Chicago lost to the worst team in the NFL, you've got there is no keeping your job. Matt Eberflus could go 2-0 against Green Bay, and he's not keeping his job. I will put my name on this. I don't even know if he'll keep his job to the end of the season.
Well, I mean, they already axed the offensive coordinator.
Yeah. And then that happens. And they bring in a guy. I actually bring in a guy. The only reason I liked Waldron being brought in was Thomas Brown. Thomas Brown has actually got a really nice pedigree. If he does a nice job, he actually could be in that job, that head coaching job next season.
Could be.
I'd like to see him or the OC from Detroit. Either of those guys. Give me either of them. But regardless, now I actually think things have changed a little bit in the dynamic. And if you're asking me right now, like in this game, who has a more must-win situation or anything like that? Green Bay cannot lose this game.
Nope.
There is no way. I'm not saying it ruins their season. They're going to have a head coaching change or anything like that. None of those straight heavy things. Their season actually remains the same, I think. But you still can't lose this game between these two states.
Right.
I don't care what the rest of the country, the rest of the planet thinks. There's just no way that Matt LaFleur can lose this game.
Right.
He could win a Super Bowl, and Green Bay fans will not forget them losing this week, this game, with all these factors and everything. The positive for Green Bay fans, there's very little chance of that happening.
But, never say never, never with this rivalry.
Well, and in the NFL, any given Sunday. You know, I think there's that. You've got an OC coming in that you don't know, you can't plan for, so there is that. But you also have it being Chicago and 10 straight wins against this team. And it's been a long time, even before, longer than that, that it was an actually competitive rivalry. When I was a kid, Chicago had an overwhelming lead on Green Bay when it came to this. I don't need to look. I know the Green Bay has a lead in that win-loss column now.
A growing one,
Yeah, and it's not going anywhere. It's not changing anytime soon. So, I mean, there's plenty to enjoy about this game if you're a Green Bay fan. But I don't know what much there is to look forward to. I would worry about this being a trap game for the Packers.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys got? What do you guys got?
To me, it is a must-win no matter what for the Packers, is that, okay, so if you lose this game to the Bears, you have not won a game within your division. So you lost all tiebreakers, Another thing is, it could be a trap game, yes, because you're looking past it and, you're looking to next week against the 49ers. Mm-hmm. My thing is, you need to stay as healthy as possible. So my personal opinion is, if the Packers are up three scores and Jordan Love is growing, is still not the best, he's out of the ball game.
Yeah.
You know, he needs to, maybe another, couple quarters not to play. But I heard a couple interesting stats today that when it comes to Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. If he can get rid of the ball within 3 seconds, so basically it's like immediately, he's got one of the top quarterback ratings in the league. If he goes to 5 seconds or more, he's got the worst quarterback rating in the league.
Interestingly, in college it was the same thing. Yeah, same type of thing. And interestingly, in college, he was dealing with an offensive line very similar.
Yeah.
This kid is going to make it or not. That is my big take. There you go. You go ahead and run with that, everybody. No, I am buying all the stock there is on Caleb Williams. I am fine with him as a quarterback. I have issues with him that I would have with any rookie quarterback. The one thing that I want out of a young quarterback right now, this kid has imagination. He has creativity. He sees the field differently than most, and he is willing to try things and do things that most quarterbacks don't even think about, outside of the creative quarterbacks that we've talked about before many times.
Right.
He has that intangible. Can he put everything else together with that? Can he get enough time behind the offensive line to do that? Can he get coaching to be able to do that? All these things are what-ifs, but I don't have a what-if about Caleb Williams, and I don't think that if he was with any other franchise that there would be as much questioning, and I would be getting as many ESPN updates on this kid if he wasn't a first round pick. I think there's a lot. There's those factors in there. I don't think there are many people outside of the city of Chicago. I'm not even going to say the state of Illinois. I'll say outside of the city of Chicago that are looking to see this kid succeed. I don't see one person at ESPN that does. And I don't think many, and have for a while now. I think that you can look at him and see a future if you want to, and see holes if that's what you're looking for. But whatever anybody's opinion of this kid was before he even went to USC, it's their same opinion of him. Nobody has changed their thoughts on this kid from day one. I I'll say mine haven't either. I've thought this kid was a once in a generation talent, possibly. You can say that about a couple of guys. There were some people out there that thought Ryan Leaf was a once in a lifetime quarterback too. So who knows? We got no idea. And part of the problem with this is, it's the same problem you're running into that you did with Justin Fields, that you did with Mitch Trubisky, Cade McNown. I can keep going. I don't know if they're a good quarterback because they don't have a great offensive line, they don't have a great coach, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's the same problem every year with this team and with this franchise and with the quarterback. The only difference this time to me is, I actually believe in this kid. Justin Fields won me over. Mitch Trubisky actually off the field won me over. I liked him more as a person than necessarily as a player. This is a kid right now, I can't think of where he is, but he's driving the same car he was in high school. Just a good kid, just a good guy. But Caleb Williams, off the field, I'm a little more questioning of than I am on the field. On the field, got no issues. I think these are things he can figure out. I'm excited about what this means for Jordan Love, kind of picking up the mantle and of taking over ownership of Chicago and seeing if he can do that. I think he can. I think he's going to.
Well, he's 2-0.
Continuing that because it doesn't matter what his record is going into it. It only matters coming out of it. He can be 10-1, and the focus is going to be on the one because the rivalry has become so upset that you can't afford to let go of that. You can't give them any slack.
Nope.
You got to. This is the monster at the end of the movie that you have to keep killing when it comes to rivalries. And this is the only one like it in all of football. You could throw rivalries at me all you want. There is no other rivalry in all of sports, let alone football, that is like this rivalry. And therefore, you can't give any slack. This is a must-win for Green Bay. And for Chicago, it's a can we salvage anything from this season? Can we take anything from this season that we can hang our hat on? Can we turn things around? Because I don't believe that once a coach loses a locker room, they can get them back. You can, if the Philadelphia Eagles go on to win the Super Bowl, you can play this right back in my face. But I do not believe Nick Sirianni can win a Super Bowl with that team.
No.
He has lost that team. They can keep on winning. Jalen Hurts can keep doing amazing things, and I'm more power to him. There ain't no way that team's winning the Super Bowl. Once you get into the playoffs and all bets are off and the records are thrown out and you're facing hungry team versus hungry team, how much are those guys going to want to play for him? Because there is no way Matt Eberflus can win that locker room. They can go undefeated the rest of the season, and that ain't happening.
Right. And I agree with that, you know, but the biggest thing is that with this weekend is, like you said, we're Jordan Love. Can he keep what's going on? You know, I think what LaFleur is 10-0 against the Bears.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm afraid because everybody's, you know, they're going to look past Chicago. They're going to be getting ready for San Francisco. And because, I mean, obviously there's a lot of bad juju with San Francisco, because San Francisco is kind of like Green Bay with Chicago. San Francisco has Green Bay's number, you know, and right now, the way San Francisco's playing and getting beat up, I mean,
well, if
we're probably one of the healthiest teams coming into this week's game against Chicago.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You got a quarterback nursing a sore groin, and you're in a couple of positions, a key position, Jair Alexander, some of those, and you're 100% right. You are probably the healthiest team and the youngest team still, which helps. You're going to heal a lot faster being a young team. That's the San Francisco thing is interesting, and I think that you've got a situation, too, with San Francisco where you're Ole Miss and they're Georgia. Like they're hurting. There's blood in the water. You can go ahead. You can win that game. You can change the course of that the history of this rivalry right now and where things have been and flip that script. You've got a perfect opportunity to if you're Green Bay. I would not blame them for looking ahead. And I don't know if it matters. You almost might be able to keep one eye on this game, one eye on next week, and still win the game. I don't recommend it, but I because there is. This is the other problem with me as the Bear fan that I am. For one, I know my audience, so I'm not going to sit here and ramble to you guys about my hopes for the team or anything like that. I'm going to give you the tears that you want. We're doing this in Wisconsin, but more so to the point, I also understand, and I think better. Than that, the coaching staff of Green Bay understands there is talent on that Chicago team.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, there is.
They have put it together a couple of times this year. There's been a couple of 300-yard games for Caleb. There's been some games where they look like they have it together. That feels like it was 5 years ago, but it is a possibility. So you have to prepare for this team. This isn't a team that you can take lightly. Again, with all the other factors we've set.
Right, and like we started off this show with. It's the NFL, any given Sunday.
Yeah. Something for you guys to maybe it's the Pelicans or you might need after the Oregon Wisconsin game. We don't know how that one's going to go, but the way Oregon runs up the score on teams and everything, it could get bloody. I would have a good feeling about this going into the game. I've heard a number of people say don't get embarrassed. You know, don't get embarrassed. Like, you didn't want to be embarrassed against Penn State, but then Iowa showed up, and that game didn't go great.
Right.
This is a building block game. This is a game that you can match yourself with. You can see how you rank up against and everything. This is an opportunity for Wisconsin to also pull in recruits, oddly enough. Wins, losses, they're great one way or the other, but these kids are looking at much more than just that. So there's a number of factors here you can have with this game.
I think I saw on a tweet today, or an X, that one of the top-ranked quarterbacks in next year's recruiting class, he was supposed to be committed to Michigan, I think, but I think he's changed things up a little bit. It's possibly going to be possibly there this weekend.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about some top ranks.
Yeah, there's some top-ranked recruits that are coming into this week's game. There's going to be a moral victory. If they can keep it under 14, to me, that's a moral victory with the way Oregon is. I mean, they're my pick right now for the national championship. They're my pick.
They're definitely good.
Yeah.
They are good. And I don't know what Wisconsin can do to win. I mean, but, you know, maybe Oregon doesn't show up. I mean, that probably, to me, is about the only way I think Wisconsin can win this game. And I'm a Badger fan. I just have a tough time seeing, you know, the way they play this year, to see them win this game, you know. And I'm actually, to tell you the truth, I'm more excited about Friday night's game.
Yeah, yeah.
The Arizona-Wisconsin game. I'm more excited about that one because,
yes.
I mean, even though Wisconsin's not ranked, they have a better chance this year than they did last year against Arizona to win this game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they match up a little bit better this year. So, I don't know. It's going to be a fun weekend. There's a lot of good football happening this weekend. Actually, starting tomorrow night, there's a good football game on Thursday Night Football, too. So,
yeah. That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah, yeah. Looking forward to that, too. And we'll have Badger Arizona game right here at WFHR at 7 o'clock tomorrow, Friday. Looking forward to hearing that one. That should be a good one. Always good to talk to you, brother. Thanks so much for the call. You take care, okay?
All right, you guys have a great night.
Have a good one.
424-2600, phone line to call up and join the conversation. Looking forward to talking with all y'all. I was tempted to bring this up, but I didn't want to keep Kev too long. But we have talked a bit of Aaron Rodgers together, the three of us and everything. And just about 20 minutes before we went on air, it was kind of brought up to it. Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show, I guess, today. And they brought up about, you know, whether or not he's going to play in 2025. And his quote, "I think so. Yeah." Which I don't know. I don't know what you do with that. But it's more than I thought he would say if asked that question. And I honestly, if I was a betting man, I wouldn't have necessarily bet on that until I remembered who Aaron Rodgers is.
He's not going to let this year go down.
No.
I mean, it's going down in flames, but he's not going to let this year be the statistical, he's washed up, let's get out of here, time to take him to the old pet cemetery. Yeah, you know,
there's no way. No way.
That's not going to happen.
No.
So the New York Packers have their biggest problems. They have huge problems. And is he helping them? No. But is he covering up how bad they may be? Yeah.
Yeah.
And even though he's having a poor year, he does make up. A bad Aaron Rodgers is still better than how many other teams in this league?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
So, I mean, that's where that comes down to. And just want to touch on a couple of the other things. One of the things that I did read that was interesting out of the whole firing of the Bears offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
That he actually went to Eberflus and was saying, and you can research this yourself, that he went to Eberflus and said, maybe we should make a switch. Maybe we should get Caleb's back up in there. Let the game slow down for him. Let him watch. Let him go that way. We've already seen he's talented. And I guess Eberflus said, no. And then the other part was some of the players, I guess, said, hey, let's try something different. What we're doing obviously isn't working. In the words of Mark Knopfler, that ain't working.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Let's try something. And I guess Eberflus has said, no, he is our guy. And I appreciate that you're sticking with the guy. I said this, it's a trap game. The better team doesn't always win. And if the Bears win, that's a perfect example of the better team does not always win. It's Green Bay shooting themselves in the foot yet again, with like against Detroit, like against Minnesota. That you can't let teams hang around. You have to put your foot on the throat and do it. And that's where I'm concerned with Green Bay, is doing that in that week of rust. But the Bears technically have a lot of rust too on their offense. They haven't scored in two games.
Oh yeah, but has Green Bay shown that they got that dog in them? Have they been able to finish teams yet? Have they been able to show that they can really like put that foot down?
Arizona,
I'm curious to see that. I haven't seen it enough.
And right.
I haven't seen enough of the dog in Jordan Love. I want to see that. I'm not saying he doesn't have it. I don't think you make it to this point in life and this point in your career without having a little dog in you.
Yep.
I just want to see it. They're young players. This is a young team. I want to see them do what they need to do to earn that and get that dog out of them. This is a great game for that. This is a great time for that. Playing hurt does that. Shows that to your fellow teammates and all of that. To the point about Waldron and everything, he's been bringing this up almost, I would say, for a month about letting Caleb sit. And there's no, I don't think there's enough evidence to say not to let him sit, not just with him in his career, but with what they've done with Peyton Manning and plenty of other quarterbacks. They start, they sit, they come back. This isn't the same as, I think people like do this all the time in sports. I say something like that and you start thinking of Major League Baseball and sending a kid down and we never see him again. Like, that's not what we're talking about here.
Right.
It's a whole different game and it's a whole different thing in football. Guys get sit for a series sometimes. Guys don't start games, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is, for one, we don't know if this is coming from up top or if it's from Matt Eberflus's own thoughts. I don't know. I would like to know the answer to that.
Yeah.
And in part because I want to know who should keep a job and who shouldn't going forward, because I think it's the wrong decision under a number of levels. Yes, let Caleb sit. Yes, let him take in the game, all those things. Also, how about we don't have him break his leg and be injured going into training camp next season because he's got a horrible offensive line. I'm not saying you let him sit all season, but what is the positive of letting him play? Oh, he gets reps. I'm not worried about reps. I'm not worried about reps with this kid. We don't know if he's going to hang on to the ball so long, if he's got a line that holds for him. If the line holds, maybe we find out if he can get rid of the ball faster or not. We can't figure it out right now because of those factors. You're not going to be able to find that out until you get a decent offensive line. You're not going to get a decent offensive line at Walmart. So why not wait until next year? Why not bring him out then? I don't see the point. I don't see the positives enough. What I do see is a coach desperately trying to show that he should have this job in 2025.
Yeah.
And thinking in his head the best way to do that is Caleb Williams.
Yep. And I don't think you're wrong in that. I think he's just trying to prove, hey, I am the one making the right choices. I am not incorrect in this. We're doing the right thing and we have the right players in the right position at the right time to do it. And, you know, to your credit as well, Green Bay do have that killer instinct, because starting last year in that playoff game against Dallas, Dallas is still dead.
Yeah.
I mean, they destroyed the Cowboys. and it's over ran into this year.
I agree. They did completely. They may have even destroyed Dallas even years before that. Who
knows? Could be, yeah.
But to me, and we all have different definitions of this, but for me, that dog doesn't go away.
No.
They didn't have it the next week when they lost in the playoffs. And Jordan Love did the Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, and his last play in the playoffs right now is an interception. That wasn't a dog. That was a young athlete, young player who had about 10 starts in his career and all that. That's not me taking shots at Jordan.
No.
Please don't give him bulletin board material. We don't need that.
Because he cares so much what you have to say. Right.
No, Jordan's a huge fan of the show. Huge fan. Great guy. I want to see it continuously. I just want to see it every week, every single, I don't care if it's the playoffs or if it's just a preseason game. These guys go out there and they dominate. They want to win that game. They don't win every game, but they're in every game. What we're seeing with Detroit right now, That's a team with dog in it. That's a team that I could be up 3 touchdowns, and I still don't feel confident I'm going to beat them, as we just saw. That's a team that it's so wild to be saying this. A listener yesterday brought this up to me, and I'm glad this actually came up. So Randy and I got to do the show together Monday,
yep.
And we used to do the show all the time together. And back in the day, one of the things we did was, oh, we're going to go into the NFL season. We're going to preview each of our NFC North teams. And we got as far as Detroit. That's all we got. It was Detroit. And this is obviously when Detroit isn't very good and everything. And we just kind of really talked up Detroit, though. We liked what was going on. We liked some of the things that were happening. So we were on this bandwagon early on, one of our listeners mentioned. I thought that was funny. I'm not on any bandwagon. I root for Detroit when they're not playing my team or something, like a lot of our NFC North teams here. But I'm not going to lie and say that they're not my pick to make it to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. And it has nothing to do with one factor. It has everything to do with the way that whole team is built and what they have shown me over the last couple of seasons. They have shown that they have learned from their mistakes. They have shown that they have got a team that is growing together. And they're doing that one thing that every smart team does. Us against the world. Nobody believes in us. Everybody's against us. Blah, 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 blah. You know, forget about the fact that they're number one in the division.
Right.
Or, you know, ESPN is crowning them or any of those things. Nope, the whole world's against us. Let's go get them. And I don't know. That's a team that I don't feel confident betting against right now.
Yeah, Detroit was one of those that when they hired Dan Campbell, I've said it on the air before. I said if they give him the time that he needs, more than 2 years, to turn this around, he's going to make Detroit instead of, it's Detroit, into Detroit. And I can tell you, when I've been at Lambeau Field for Green Bay Detroit games, I miss the days of the lowly Lions fans going, yeah, you're going to kick our butts today. Yeah, you know, we're just happy to be watching them and then be doing that. And now it's they show up and they think they're going to beat us at home. And I got reservations about that. Until someone can beat them, and I mean, Green Bay has proven they can. They've proven that they can beat Dan Campbell at his own game. Thanksgiving last year when they gypped Jordan Love out of his turducken, they messed that one up because they had the lion cooked logo cooked on it because they said no way Green Bay wins that game. Well, Green Bay did. They bullied the Lions like the Lions bully many, and I mean, a handful of plays. That Green Bay Detroit game the other week in the pouring rain, which I'm so thankful I wasn't there for that, that it wasn't, you look statistically at that game, Green Bay should have, you know, yards totaled, total yards, time of possession, that kind of stuff. So Green Bay lost, huh? Interesting. Yeah. Well, and that just goes show a handful of plays, and it's you beat yourself. How many drop passes? How many false starts? How many turnovers? That kind of stuff. Missed field goal. I mean, it wasn't just one thing. It was a combination, and that happens. That's how you win a game. That's how you lose a game. But with Detroit, they are the darlings, and I don't know how much longer Dan Campbell can sit there and say, everyone's against us. No, they're not.
Yeah, no,
they're not.
No, they're not, man.
No one's against you. Everyone's just crowning you, as you said. And you know what? I hate saying it, but they're going to blow it sometime. And I say the same thing about the Kansas City Swifts. They're going to blow it. And it's not that I don't like Kansas City or anything like that. I really do. But I don't think they have it.
If I'm being honest, it really comes across like you've got a bias sometimes with these teams when you're given some of these takes on the NFL teams. And I say that as somebody who has bias when he's talking about teams. I'm not at all calling you out. If anything, we have it in common.
Right.
But with my bias, I think sometimes like the Bears could be 8-0 right now, and I wouldn't believe in them probably. Like that my bias goes the other direction
sometimes.
It goes, you know, well, yeah, because you're biased towards the Bears. We're going to go to break. We will come back in just a moment. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Before we go to break, I did want to remind everybody, you still have time to check this out. In recognition of Veterans Day, EAA Chapter 706 in Wisconsin Rapids is hosting a screening of Honor in the Air, the story of decorated Vietnam helicopter pilot and Wisconsin native Scott Alwyn. It'll be going on today at 7 o'clock. The screening is free and open to the public and being held in a large community hangar at the Wisconsin Rapids Airport. That's got to be a cool way to see a movie. That's going to be cool. I hope you guys enjoy and have a great time. Thank the staff over there for hosting this, and enjoy, and certainly remember our veterans and remember Mr. Scott Alwyn and make him proud. Head on over there, everybody. Check that out. Going to be a good time tonight. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll be back with more show. Morning. I almost said morning show. I almost did it. Playmakers, WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Michael and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Phone lines are wide open. Hit them in the numbers. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Big thank you to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring this hour, giving us the opportunity to hang out with y'all. We've got Wisconsin Luke Fickell, UW Badgers head coach Luke Fickell, joining us at 705 right here on this radio station. Looking forward to hearing what Coach has to say from the bye week and the Oregon game coming up. We'll talk about that Oregon game in a moment. I did want to mention a couple of our other things, get into our schedules for college and pro football, talk about this Diamond Sports deal that is going on as well, but get to a little stats of the show here, show stats, and this has really become more of history, just me talking history and sports history. Did anybody ever heard the stat that at Nebraska's Memorial Stadium, if it is sold out, if they have a sold out crowd there, that it would be the third largest city in Nebraska?
That sounds about right.
It's crazy. That's a crazy stat to me, man. I knew that was a big stadium, but I knew Nebraska wasn't that big, but that one threw me. Have anybody ever wondered how many Uggas and how many Bebos there have been?
Bevos
there have been with Georgia and Texas with their mascots. I want to thank one of my favorite podcasts and the best college football podcast there is, the Shutdown Fullcast. Holly Anderson had these as a stat, and I just thought it was too good. So University of Georgia, how many Uggas they've had?
I want to say 8.
That's good. That's pretty good, man. I wouldn't have gotten that. Yeah. 11. 11. They have named 11 dogs Ugga. They have had 11 of these. But I wouldn't have got. I would have been way too high, I think. And Bevos. There have been 15 Bevos.
Yep.
I thought that was pretty kind of cool. I like those stats. Obviously, it gets a little dark if you think too much about it, but this is life. And I love that they keep it going. I like that NIU has a little bit of a similar thing with their husky that they bring in from a shelter and stuff. It's kind of interesting, kind of funny. Thought it was quite interesting. Probably more interesting is what Ole Miss just pulled off. I'm not just talking about the first signature win for Lane Kiffin, maybe in his coaching career.
Yeah,
but definitely at Ole Miss.
Yep.
It seems like every time there was a big SEC game with Lane Kiffin, I was wondering, is this going to be a signature win? Is this going to be it?
Signature loss, usually.
Right, yeah. This one, as impressive as the win was against Georgia, and it was, they dominated that game. My problem with the idea of Chicago beating Green Bay is exactly what you said, man. If they do, we all know it's going to be because of turnovers and things like that. I don't want to win that way. I don't want to win because Green Bay shot themselves in the foot. I want to beat them.
Yep.
Ole Miss beat Georgia.
Yeah, they did.
They beat them. And that was impressive to me. But more impressive to me than that, people seem to like Lane Kiffin. Like, when did that happen?
Yeah.
I even kind of like him. And that threw me off, man. I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't like this guy when he was at USC. I didn't like this guy and all these. Got a little humbled, and I don't know. It's just become kind of funny.
Well, that just kind of goes to show as well, whether we want to admit it or not, a media's narrative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Media's influencers, or influenzas in some cases. But, yeah. I've seen it all, and I'm sticking to the sports on this, but Nick Saban, okay, it didn't matter with Nick. It really didn't, because his teams did the talking. So whatever you want to say about Nick, say it, because, okay, you can't say anything bad. But other ones, such as who's at Lincoln Riley, there's been more and more coming out about that. And I felt, as an Oklahoma fan, the Oklahoma media, they had what they had to say about it. They're like, you left us to go where? Okay, well, what you did, it's a money move, whatever, whatever. And we're kind of seeing what the narrative was coming out of Oklahoma about, and what the national media was saying, oh, USC, USC, USC. And now you're seeing them get really quiet about that and being more critical of him and his style of coaching. So that's a point I'm trying to make
part
on that.
Of it. I think it's part of it. I think there's also one other thing. First off, you're going to learn something real quick about me, brother. You drop something like that, I'm not going to let it just sit
there.
If you are influenced by media, I question you.
Right.
If you are manipulated by the media,
right.
I don't give the media credit for that. I don't give the media credit for making narratives or any of these things. They can try to, but I believe that people can look their own things up and make their own narratives and their own opinions. Those that don't, that's on them. If all you're taking is what's being fed to you, that's on you.
I agree.
That's not on the media.
I agree.
And I think that the media gets a bad rap for basically doing their job. Like, they're supposed to fill time. They're not. I mean, let's not pretend that 24/7 news cycles and things like that are about actually informing people,
right.
or educating or anything like that.
No, they're not.
Now, completely different here at Civic Media. Very different here. It's in radio. In radio, it's a whole different thing. In all seriousness, radio is a very different ballgame than TV.
Oh yeah.
As far as narratives and those conversations go, they can do what they want. I believe people make their own decisions and see through those things and look up their own information.
Right.
Especially nowadays where you can get information everywhere.
Right.
There's so many. We got these supercomputers sitting on our hips all the time and everything. And to your point, I think that it did do that with Lane Kiffin, where they decided, oh, well, you know what? We're not going to be mean to him anymore. So we're going to be nice to him and
right.
some of that.
And then flipped it over on Lincoln Riley. Because, I mean, everybody loved him at Oklahoma. And now it's not so
kind
fast.
Of funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah,
like they just basically traded places. Like yeah. You can see them walking down the hallway.
I hope you see it. Because, I mean, I've seen it. Oh. Well, wow, this is kind of interesting. And now that they're doing it, I'm like, wait a minute.
Do you think, let's look at both of these coaches for a second. Because I think Lincoln Riley seems to be a good coach.
Yeah.
I think Lane Kiffin seems to be a good coach.
Yeah.
Do you think that they can, Lane Kiffin's, I don't know if he's how long he's going to stay at Ole Miss, especially if he starts winning there.
Yeah.
Do you think Lincoln Riley can make it at USC, or he has to go somewhere else? Because he ain't gonna stop coaching. He ain't gonna stop head coaching.
I think it depends on what all transpires at USC. There was the talk of he got out of Norman because they were gonna crack down on Oklahoma for all these files. No, they haven't. They haven't at all.
Yeah,
so I never really believed that. I never really believed that when I was hearing that. But USC and Oklahoma are very similar in the aspect of you better win.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma, he was winning at Oklahoma. He was.
Yep.
There's no way around that.
Oh, yeah.
He goes to USC where they have been struggling, and they won a bunch of games with Caleb Williams and some good receivers, good running backs, blew some bowl games really bad. Tulane, I think, was one.
Yep. Yep.
I forget the others, but they blew it. That's their
yeah.
And yeah. That kind of hurts. People can say what they want about bowl games not mattering. Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they
yeah.
matter.
Yeah,
I agree. They very much do matter. Mm-hmm. And that's where I see maybe some of that struggles in those bowl games with Lincoln Riley might be coming to hurt them. But the other aspect, too, is that move to the Big Ten. I mean, we saw Nebraska. They got tired of getting their butts kicked by Texas and Oklahoma every year. We're going to go to the Big Ten, and we're going to run them. No, you haven't.
Mm-mm.
No, you haven't. This is the first year they've been relevant in quite some time, ever in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And now USC comes in, Washington, Oregon, and UCLA. Well, UCLA no one expects much out of.
Mm-hmm.
No one, I don't think, really expected much out of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
USC was one where they're saying, there might be something here, and everyone expects something out of Oregon, and they should. And Oregon, they might. I think Oregon's success is going to catch up with it. I don't think they're going to continue to run a roughshod over the Big Ten, because who knows if they're actually going to. We'll see how things go this weekend with Ohio State and Indiana, because whoever wins that one's probably going to the Big Ten title game.
Yeah.
Against Oregon, more than likely. But that's one where it's kind of interesting to see who the darlings are right now.
Yeah.
And getting back to that, I think USC finishes mediocre this year. Okay, maybe mediocre next year. USC doesn't stay still for long.
Yeah,
and true. They don't accept mediocrity.
Yeah.
And that's one thing Wisconsin, I know Wisconsin doesn't accept it, but they might have to start.
I believe that yesterday or the day before was some anniversary for John Robinson, the old
yes,
USC coach.
Yes, I saw that. And I can't remember.
I can't remember what it was. I wish I could. But that was a different day. He established what USC would be to us as kids and everything. First off, I don't know why. I understand why he took that job, but what he had in Oklahoma, I never understood that. Why you would leave
that. It was money.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, sunshine, money, whatever it is. It wasn't a good decision. There's almost no way to get around that. There was not the right call.
Well, or there's always the thought he didn't want to go to the SEC.
Yes, that's a good thought. That's a good
because I said right there when Oklahoma and Texas said they're going to go, I said they're both going to fare about this. I mean, overall, they're going to fare about the same. Texas, the way that they're going right now, that's the way they're built right now. They're going to be all right for a few years.
Yeah,
but I think it's going to catch up to them. Oklahoma, they're taking their lumps right now. Now, are they going to get better? Yeah, I think they're. I mean, their biggest problems are on the offensive side of the ball. I tend to believe that with quarterback play, a lot of injuries all throughout the year. And how many games were they in? They blew it. Ole Miss was one. They were in that one for most of it. Missouri, that was another one that they were in, and they blew it. That you're looking at a team that's got to go and beat Alabama at home and then down to Death Valley and win in Death Valley and just to hopefully make a bowl game.
Yeah.
Not looking good. But and some of that's a schedule maker. I'm not going to try to say Oklahoma's schedule was so much tougher than Texas, even though I think top to bottom looking at opponents, I think it was.
Yeah, I agree.
But at the same time, you got to line up and you got to beat who's across from you. And right now Oklahoma's struggling to do that. And part of that is going to the SEC. But you look at Oklahoma State, how good they've been. They're definitely not making a bowl game. They're 3-7, 3-8.
Wow.
And no matter if Mike Gundy being 50 and a man, it's not helping them at all. But look at what BYU's doing since they finally joined a conference.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they're kicking some butt in the Big 12.
Especially with the resources, the history, the people that they have backing that university. It's just a matter of time before Oklahoma is definitely competing in the SEC. I really look forward to that. Actually, I was really excited about Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC. It's one of the only moves that has happened in recent 10 years that I was excited about. Because of the establishment of those two universities and what that means for the greatest division in college football.
Yep.
I mean, it's hard. You can't argue that. I'm a Big Ten guy. I love the Big Ten. We take Ohio State and put them up against Tennessee. Put them up against one of the lower-ranked SEC teams. The size, the difference of these kids is insane.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Let alone the speed, talent, coaching, et cetera, et cetera. I love the Big Ten. I don't think it's even close as far as what is a better division. We've got Ohio State that we can hold up, and I hate doing this. Trust me. God, I hate doing this. But you have to give credit where it's due. Ohio State has been an established product for quite some time and been in playoffs and everything. Michigan, a little bit here and there. Outside of that, we don't have a whole lot to offer. We don't have a whole lot to say. Oh, this
Oregon right now,
yeah,
Oregon.
Yeah. Well, now we do with these teams coming in. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
I think the Big Ten and the SEC are maybe more comparable now than they ever have been.
I think.
But before we had that big the Big Four and the Big Two going I don't think it was even close. And I'm not an SEC guy, but looking back at it, man, that SEC was really good. And some of that, I do think there is the bias with the SEC there when we had LSU and Georgia or LSU and Bama in the BCS title game. Oklahoma should have been in there over one of the other ones, whichever one lost the regular season. It was messed up.
That still makes me angry.
But at the same time, Oklahoma State beat Iowa State.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what cost them. Mm-hmm. And then Oklahoma State, I think, went in and
really
just
knocked them down
kicked the snot out of Stanford in the Fiesta Bowl.
Just
embarrassed them.
Oh, they had a QB at that time, too, I thought. I remember Stanford did at that time. I don't remember.
Not Andrew Luck.
No.
It was after him.
It was way after him, yeah. But I can't remember who it was. It's somebody. We'll take a quick time out. I'll think about that. Come back without an answer. And I will not Google it, though. I will not Google it. We'll come back. I want to talk a little bit about the college football schedule coming up, NFL schedule, and mention this Diamond Sports when we get back right here on Playmakers at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Michael and James here with you. Going to wrap up the show at the top of the hour. Keep in mind, we'll get into our schedule in a moment, but Luke Fickell show starting at 7:05 today. Be sure to join us for that. Diamond Sports Group, the bankrupt operator of regional sports networks, has announced a commercial agreement with streaming giant Amazon that will allow in-market fans to watch their teams through Prime Video for the MLB season. The agreement extends to Diamond's 16 RSN in 31 states and be available as an add-on subscription. This is going to give a lot more baseball fans an opportunity to catch their teams. Pricing and a start date hasn't been determined yet, but the agreement is non-exclusive, which means fans can also stream local games through the FanDuel app, so no blackouts is what you're kind of getting there.
Okay.
And with this, there's the Diamond has also obviously filed Chapter 2 in the last 20 months. They retained a liner digital streaming rights for 13 NBA teams, and they have kept the rights of the Atlanta Braves as far as baseball MLDs. That's the only one they have. Okay. It's a pre-existing deal, so that's kind of why that's almost been grandfathered in. Diamond has since announced a multi-year streaming and linear agreement with St. Louis Cardinals, Los Angeles Angels, and the Miami Marlins. The company is still in talks with the Tigers, Royals, and Rays. Five MLB teams have parted ways with Diamond, and we talked about this a while ago. The Twins, Brewers, Guardians, Rangers, and Reds. So all of this to say, who knows where you're going to get your games next year?
That's what it's saying to me, buddy.
And while MLB and these owners are going to collect more and more money, the rich get richer. They are killing their sport and making it so that your average fan can't afford half of these subscriptions or can't make it to keep up with half of these things. You have the oldest sport in all of America. And your fan base, therefore, is going to be a little older. So what do? You throw it to places where even I have a hard time finding it, let alone if I'm in my 50s, 60s, 70s or something like that. Like, it aggravates me more than anything when this stuff goes on. More than even my team losing to the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. This aggravates me.
You know what?
I thought I'd bring it full circle.
Of course you should. The one thing that stands out to me is I hope the NFL is watching.
Yeah,
and I hope they're saying, maybe these exclusive streams aren't the best idea. I really hope that. I mean, I'm already frustrated about playing internationally as much as they do, which Goodell just talked about. Oh, we're going to have 8 games next year overseas. They're going to play three in London. Mm-hmm. Then they're hoping one in Ireland. They're going to have one in Germany. They're going to have one in Mexico City. They're going to have one in Brazil. And I called it.
You did.
Spain. And then technically the ninth foreign city that they are working with that they're going to be using for sure is Chicago. So I'm sorry. I had to, buddy.
That was great. That was good.
But this is the frustration. I mean, I'm a busy man. I'm way more busy than I ever should be 3/4 of the time. And that other quarter of the time, I'm just kind of busy.
Yeah.
My falls, I don't mean like actually falling.
No.
My falls are so busy, whether it's with the sports on Fridays, trying to do some farming, trying to do some hunting, keeping up with the Packers. There's so much trying to keep my family semi-happy that I'm around them, girlfriend, everything like that, that it's like, okay, well, now I've really got to pick and choose because, they're playing in Berlin. Okay, or they're playing in Barcelona or wherever the heck they're going to play. Because eventually they're going to play in Paris. They're going to play in Italy.
Yeah.
I don't foresee them ever really playing in Moscow or anything like that, at least at the current juncture in time. Mm-hmm. But who's to say that? I mean, they have played preseason games in Japan.
Yeah.
Okay, whether they want to or not, they're probably going to play in China at some point.
The only reason that the NHL and NBA haven't done more of killing of their sport is because they're just not big enough.
Right.
If they were, that we'd be saying a very similar thing about them. I'm with you. I really hope these owners are watching what other leagues are doing and saying, we're not doing that. Maybe money isn't everything. Maybe we can actually make more money, because I can make an argument that you would actually make more money and more profit and get bigger in the world if you just stuck to what you've been doing.
Well,
like, You don't have to. The NBA didn't, like, yes, because of the Barcelona games and the Dream Team, they blew up. But it wasn't, they played, that's one
tournament.
Like, tournament. They weren't going over there every week and playing because they didn't have to.
Right.
You had Michael Jordan. You had stars. Well, guess what? You got stars. Put them out there.
Right.
Advertise. Have them advertise in Germany. Have your stars advertising in other countries. That's what movies do. That's what production companies do. Hey, I'm going to put Schwarzenegger in a bunch of ads in Japan. All of a sudden, Schwarzenegger's movies blow up in Japan. It's not that hard. This is marketing 101. You don't have to send the whole dang team there. You don't have to have a team cost a home game. You don't need to do that.
Well, and see, that's the thing that where we live with Green Bay being who Green Bay is. Green Bay is arguably the biggest team internationally in the world, most followed because of the history, everything that goes with it.
I ain't arguing that. Yeah.
Why do you think most of these teams are saying, "Yeah, we don't want to give up when the Packers come to town internationally"? I mean, Denver, they drink Denver out of beer for cripe's sake. I mean, Nashville is on its last reserves, a strategic alcohol. Jacksonville. I've heard so many of these stories that they're like, "Yeah, we've got to go half a state away to get beer."
Yeah.
So that's that. And then as a ticket holder, oh, so you're taking away my opportunity to see this team?
Yeah.
No.
The college football schedule, I like the Tennessee-Georgia game at number 6, Tennessee,
that's
number 11,
good.
Georgia. That should be a good one. I don't know much else on the slate. The NFL schedule actually looks pretty good this week. As you mentioned earlier, you guys were talking about Commanders, Eagles. That's going to be a good one tomorrow night. I think the obviously the Green Bay-Chicago game, we've talked about that. The Jaguars-Lions could be interesting just because of the Lions having a bit of a coming out of that game. I don't know what to think of Jacksonville. Chiefs, Bills, that should be a darn good game.
Yes.
And Texans, Cowboys, I don't think it's going to be a good game. I just look forward to seeing Texas, dominate that game, hopefully. Bengals, Chargers could be good as well.
Yep.
We got a great schedule lined up for you here, too. In just a little bit, about less than an hour from now, Luke Fickell will be on these airwaves with the Luke Fickell Show. That'll be at 7:05. I'm all reversed here. Yeah, that'll be coming up at 7:05. Then on Friday, we'll have another Playmakers. And at 7 o'clock, Wisconsin men's basketball hosting Arizona. Heard us talking about that. That should be a good one. That'll be at 7 o'clock. Saturday, 4:30, Badgers hosting Oregon. Our pregame will kick off. And then on WFHR on Sunday at 1:40, Wisconsin women's basketball hosting UW-Milwaukee. Should be good stuff there. We'll be talking more River Kings next week as we get some home games to look forward to.
Yeah, still a few weeks away.
Yeah. But we'll be talking more Kings there. Certainly there. And we're looking forward to talking with you all on Friday. Michael, great show.
Hey, you too, buddy.
Have a great night, everybody. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.